You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's settle in. Okay, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for this beautiful tribe of people that you have gathered here today. Thank you for every single person that's watching, that is going to be listening to the podcast. I thank you that they are here by design appointment. I thank you that this is our time to rise, our time to shine, our time to manifest the kingdom of God on the earth. As you, in union with you, I thank you that Holy Spirit, you are more powerful than we've imagined, and you're in us. Thank you that the fullness of the Godhead is in us. Thank you that we are complete in you. We live and move and have our being inside of God. And this is the best news that's ever been told. And I thank you that this is an hour that you are waking us up to this reality. You are causing our union with you to be the way that we operate, to be the way that we think, to be the way that we be. Thank you that it is our being, Father, our very being, and you are elevating our Christ consciousness. You are elevating our perception. You are elevating our ability to partner with the Holy Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Spirit and know things that there is no way a human being could know. Thank you that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for those who love you. And I thank you that that's us. And the Holy Spirit is revealing those things to us in this hour. I thank you for wisdom that comes from above. I thank you for revelation that blows our minds, that it takes your mind to even wrap our heads around it. And I thank you that we have access to your mind. We have access to your thoughts. We have access to your feelings. We are truly your body. And so I just declare today, Father, that we are yielding all of our faculties to you as instruments of righteousness. We are walking as one in the earth. We are fulfilling Jesus's prayer that we would all be one as he was in you, Father, and you were in him. I thank you that that prayer has been answered through his resurrection and that it is a reality that we are experiencing every single day. So I just thank you for breakthrough today, Father, in people's perception. I thank you for breakthrough in just problems, God, that people have been dealing with. I thank you that there is a higher level of thinking that solves them. And I thank you that it's being released today. So just fill my mouth with your words, Father. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you would be in operation and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that we would truly know, I mean, really in our heart of hearts, in our knower, know the hope of our calling, which is Christ in us. And so I bless our time together today and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Awesome. Well, good. I see all you guys on here. I got to move my screen away because your comments are distracting me, but I love it. I love it when you guys are active in the comments, but we are back. We are back for part three of Supernatural by Design. And I just hope that you are enjoying this series so far. Today, we're going to take a little walk down memory lane. And when I say memory lane, we're going to take a walk down through history. We're going to take a walk through the Gospels. We're going to take a walk through the miraculous. And we're going to take a look at miracles, right? This whole series has been about that the supernatural is not optional, right? That we have been recreated in Christ for good works, for supernatural works, and that miracles should be the normal experience of a believer because we are truly one with God. And the very same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is actually, like, in reality, living inside of you. And I know that we are human beings, right? We are, oh gosh, we have a natural mind, we have our physical senses, and it is really easy to get trapped in the physical reality and somehow operate as though, you know, we are separated from God. But it is a delusion, you guys. It is a deception. And the Holy Spirit is just so brilliant at bringing us into the truth and so that we know it, so that we can live in the reality that heaven and earth have been reconciled, that heaven is a dimension that exists inside of us and all around us, and that all things, the cosmos has been reconciled to Jesus. And so we are in the manifestation of heaven business. We are in the manifestation of the will of God on the earth business. It's the Father's business, and you and I are co-heirs of that business. We are joint owners of the Father's business. We are joint heirs of the new creation, you guys. What good news is this? Now, I get it. This new creation is an invisible reality, right? You can't go into, you know, look in the mirror and see your glorified, resurrected union with God's self with your natural eyes, right? You can't check your feelings and be like, whoa, do I feel like a new creation today, right? Because you know what? Your feelings can tell you all kinds of things. They can be coming from your past. They can be coming from an ache in your body, right? Like, I mean, the sensations in our physical bodies and the feelings that are happening in our bodies and in our minds are not an indicator of the truth of the gospel, right? That is not the way that sons of God operate. We operate by faith. We operate by seeing the unseen. We operate by activated spiritual senses. We have the ability to hear the voice of God with our spiritual ears because we're new creations. We have the ability to tap into the thoughts of God and the wisdom of God because we are new creations. And really, our number one priority every single morning is to wake up to new creation reality, to wake up to the reality of our recreation in Christ and to realign our I. And when I say I mean the personal pronoun of I is not a separated I, but it's an I that is Christ. And so there's this new identity, there's this new design that we have been recreated in Christ to operate in. And so every single day, it is, you know, really an ascension out of the natural way of thinking. It's an ascension out of relying on our physical senses to tell us the truth, right? We aren't checking our bank accounts to see how much money we have. Whoa. We're not checking, you know, our temperature, right, to see if we're healthy or not. We're not consulting with flesh and blood. We're not consulting with the material realm to tell us the truth, because that is the realm we're called to govern, not the realm that we're called to live under. You know, and when Jesus said that we would do greater works than he did, we would do the same works that he did and even greater works than he did. You know, that is an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing that Jesus promised. That's from John 14, 12. And let me read it to you in the Passion Translation. This is what he says. I tell you this timeless truth. I love the way the Passion Translation says this. This is a timeless truth, right? It doesn't go out of style. It didn't go away when the apostles passed away, right? You know, it's not like miracles and the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural somehow was no longer applicable because, you know, the Bible was canonized and, you know, the things that, you know, cessationists teach, right? That, you know, miracles are not for today, or you never know what God's going to do. All this crappy theology that we, get spoon-fed in Western evangelical Christianity. Like, none of that's true. Jesus said, this is a timeless truth. Okay. And here's what it says in the Passion Translation, which I love. It says, the person who follows me in faith, keyword, in faith, believing in me, and I just want to say believing in me in you, okay, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father, right? So why is it that, you know, he needed to go to his Father, or why is going to the Father the reason that we're going to do the same works that he did and greater works? Well, I bet you know the answer, right? The reason why Jesus going to the Father was going to be the key that unlocked these miracles in our lives is because when he ascended to the Father, guess what? We ascended with him. We were resurrected with him. We were crucified, buried, raised, and ascended with Jesus. We became fully associated with Jesus Christ in the mind of God. And so we need to become fully associated with Jesus Christ in our minds, right? This mind renewal needs to take place so that the transfiguration of our consciousness can take place, right? That's what God is doing in this hour. There's a transfiguration of all things, right? It's this transfiguration of the new creation. And for that to happen, there needs to be a transfiguration of our consciousness so that our consciousness becomes I am consciousness. And we get our I am in agreement, or we just recognize that our I am is the I am. And so this union with Jesus, this union with the Father, and this ascension with Jesus to the Father is why we are able to do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works than Jesus did. And so here's what I want to propose today is, what if we made, right, being a miracle worker our primary job description? What if we went to miracle school and we started expecting to this scripture to be true in our lives, that we would do the same works that Jesus did and that we would even do greater works than Jesus did? Like, what if we just took Jesus at his word and we just said, okay, this is what Jesus said. Jesus is not a man that he should lie, that this is the truth. This is the truth about me. I am a miracle worker like Jesus. I do. Why? Because Jesus lives in me and Jesus is working miracles through me every single day of my existence. And what if we woke up in the morning and we woke up to the new creation self that is Christ, and our eye got single and we said, there is no I apart from him. And when I say our eye got single, I don't mean our eye, but I do mean our eye. I mean that the personal pronoun I got single and there was only one I that was Christ. And then guess what? Our vision got single and we were perceiving reality out of the eyes of God and out of the mind of God. And what if every single day our assignment in the Father's business was to be a miracle worker? And we would think, okay, well, what miracle am I to work today, Jesus? And whether that's a healing miracle, whether that's a financial miracle, whether that is a relational miracle, whether that is, someone in your sphere of influence that needs a miracle, what if it was your assignment on the planet today to work at least one miracle, at least the same works that Jesus did? Like, maybe a greater work. I don't know, Holy Spirit, what are we up for today? What are you up for today? What do you want to do with my body today? My body is the body of Jesus, and I just give you full access to all my faculties, to everything that I am, and I'm just available. I am available to be a miracle worker today. Whoa, and what if that was our reasonable service? What if just offering our bodies to be used by Jesus to bring the new creation into manifestation every single day was just the way we thought? And we got up every single day expecting a miracle, but not just expecting a miracle, but actually working a miracle, because we recognize that we are supernatural by design. And so that's a really, really powerful scripture. And it's our reasonable service to be the body of Jesus, right? We've used that term so frequently, we're not even sure what it means. It just means some like collective, group of people that are Christians and where they're the body of Christ. Like we've almost made it like a membership that we're a part of, rather than a reality that we live in. That we are the physical component of the Godhead, you guys, in the earth. Like, the potential that you carry is Christ. Whoa, it is the same spirit that hovered over the waters at creation and manifested every single thing that we see. What if the manifester, capital M, is alive in you right this minute and ready to go to manifest the new creation in all kinds of crazy ways every single day through you? This is the gospel. This is the truth. I am telling you the truth today. You have the equipment because you have the person, because you are the person. And God is elevating our consciousness so that we are operating as him in the earth, because as Jesus is, so are we. As him, we are as him, and operating as me, meaning he is me, that is our normal way of being. And I know that it feels a little maybe awkward when we start to hear these things, or we wake up in the morning and we're just like, I worked out yesterday. I woke up sore. I wake up and my body's like, whoa, just stay in bed. I know that when we wake up, it's like we wake up as a mere human being, but we never are mere human beings. We are supernatural by design, divine partakers of his nature. And we are equipped and we are filled with his spirit, and we are ready. We are ready to go into action to solve problems that you can't solve naturally, that you can't solve with human understanding. That there are miracles in your mouth, there are miracles in your hands. And if you start to really, really just believe the gospel and just say, yes, here I am, Father, I am ready, I am willing, and I am able because of you to be you in the earth, today and do something ridiculous, to do something unusual, to do something miraculous and wondrous. I'm available today to be a solution to the problems of the material realm. Man, what a glorious life we are called to live, you guys. And so I wanted to invite you today to an exercise. I actually did, I printed off a little one pager here today that has all of, I think it's all, I don't know that it's all. I got this off the, I Googled it. And I didn't pull out my list of the miracles of Jesus. I have a whole list of it from our Emerge curriculum, but I didn't pull it out. I was lazy. Instead, I pulled something off the internet. And when I printed it out, I realized this is probably not all the miracles of Jesus, but it's enough. It's enough for us to walk through today. And I wanted you just to get a feel for what is normal for you. Okay. If Jesus said, we'll do the same works that he did. Okay. We're going to do them as him because Christ is in us. Then what in the world should we be expecting? What kinds of, if we're just the same works, I'm not talking greater works right now. I'm just talking the same works. If we're going to do the same works as Jesus, then these are the kinds of works that we're going to be doing. Let me just pull one out right now. Okay. I'm going to go over to Matthew. I'll go to Matthew 8 verses 5 through 13. Let me pull this up really quick. Matthew, where are you, Matthew? There you are. Chapter 8. Let's go into this really quick and let's just start reading. I'm in the Passion Translation right now. And this is talking about Jesus going to, this is the centurion servant. Okay. This is the man that he said had great faith. All right. So we're gonna read this really quick. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and to another to come and he'll come. I command my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know all you need to do is stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Verse 11, it says, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Multitudes of Gentiles will stream from the east and west to enter into the heavenly kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But many Israelites born to be heirs of the kingdom will be turned away and banished into darkness, where there will be bitter weeping and unbearable anguish. Then Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said, go home. All that you have believed for will be done for you. And his son was healed at that very moment. Okay. So we're in miracle school right now. And I'll say this. All right. I think a lot of times when we read the miracles in the Bible and we read the miracles of Jesus, we identify with the wrong person in the story. Okay. We compare ourselves to the centurion. We think, well, I just need to have great faith. And I know Jesus can do this miracle. So I just need to believe that Jesus is a man under authority. And that if he just decides that he's going to do a miracle just through my faith, the miracle will be done. Right. And so we identify with various characters throughout the Gospels instead of identifying with Jesus. And so today, what I'd like to suggest is that we go to miracle school and we learn what in the world, in the Father's business, in the miracle business, do we need to learn from this miracle, because we're here to do the same works as Jesus. Okay, so if we go through this story, first of all, there's a lot to learn from this, right? First of all, we don't have to actually physically be in the location of someone in order for them to be healed, all right? There is no distance. In fact, Jesus, you know, the centurion didn't even want him to go to his house, right? So Jesus didn't have to go to the physical location of the centurion's servant in order for the miracle to be worked. Now, this may be, you know, like obvious, right? I mean, I'm sure if you've been in any form of charismatic Christianity for any length of time, then you have heard, right, there's no distance in the spirit, okay? But let's just think about that for a minute. There is no distance in the spirit. So in the Father's business, it doesn't matter where I am. Okay, it doesn't matter where Jesus is located physically on the earth in you, right?
what matters is that you understand that you have the authority. You have the authority to command or to will or to do a miracle in any geographic location that exists. Okay, so that's one principle that we can learn about doing the same works as Jesus, as Jesus. Okay, secondly, we can also look at this and say that there's something to do with authority here, right? So the centurion had a revelation of Jesus and his authority and knew, because he was in the army, that, you know, there's a chain of command, that, you know, that the centurion in the army could tell, you know, one of his military officers to go do something, and they're, yes, sir, they're going to do it. Like, it's just, it's inevitable. No one's going to question the orders of a higher ranking officer and not perform whatever they were ordered to do. Like, there is an order to the authority and the chain of command in the army. And so this idea that the centurion understood, he understood that that's exactly how Jesus is able to do whatever it is that Jesus wants to do without actually having to physically be there, because he is a man under authority. And he knows that if he just speaks the command, well, then the command is going to be carried out. Why? Because he's Jesus and he's the highest ranking officer that there is, right? And so there's this other aspect of this miracle that we can enter into, and we can say, okay, well, I do the same works as Jesus does, as Jesus. And so the reality of it is there's no distance. I don't have to physically be somewhere if there's a healing miracle that's needed, right? I am, in this case, I am the highest ranking officer because Jesus Christ is the highest ranking officer. And so the intention of Jesus and the words of Jesus come to pass through me. Because I am, in this instance, I am acting as the highest ranking officer in all of creation. I have the authority over the material realm. I have authority over sickness and disease. I have the authority. The name of Jesus is my name. I mean, you know, I get to use it. He's given me his name, and signs follow them that believe in his name. In his name, we do the same works. But we're not just doing the same works through faith in his name, which is absolutely what we are. We're doing the same works through faith that the person whose name we're using is alive inside of us and the one that is doing the work. So we're associating with Jesus in the moment of that miracle, right? So we're not associating with the centurion. We're associating with the highest ranking officer that exists. Jesus Christ is the preeminent one, and the preeminent one lives in you, right? Now, you know, the thing that's so incredible about this is that Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And he just manifested wherever people recognized who he was. And I want to say that Jesus manifests whenever we recognize who he is, not only just in general, but who he is in us, right? And so, you know, I learned this lesson many years ago when I was an altar minister at, you know, Bill Winston's church. I felt like I was a young believer, well, you know, not qualified to be up doing altar ministry at the church, very large church, 20,000 plus members. This was in the early, you know, 2000s here. So, well before there was, you know, remote church and, you know, streaming and all that stuff. So we went in person, and it was a very big service every single week. And after service, I would go up to the altar to pray. And I'll tell you, I was so nervous about being an altar minister that I would literally pray in the spirit the entire service, because I was worried that when I got up to pray for people after service, that I would know what to say, I would know what to do, and I would not, you know, there would not be a miracle that would be a result of my ministry. And mind you, this was a supernatural church. I was raised in a supernatural church, raised in the spirit in a supernatural church where miracles were happening every single week. Okay, now this was, you know, early in my time there. So I was still learning my identity, and I was still learning about my union with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was teaching me this lesson. He was teaching me to get my eye single, to get my eye right, to get my I am right. And, you know, so I'm praying in the spirit, you know, during the whole service, not even listening, because I'm so nervous about having to minister after service. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me so clearly and saying, Shalice, whose name do you think you're praying in? Who's doing the miracle? Who's doing the praying through you? He's like, this, you are so self-conscious, and the self that you are conscious of is not even you. So you need to get out of yourself, out of this old man, out of this self that doesn't even exist. And you need to recognize that when you step up there and you start to speak, that it is not even going to be you speaking. It is going to be me speaking and me that is going to be praying through you. I'm going to do the works in you, through you, as you, the same way that I worked through my son, Jesus. I'm the same exact way that he ministered is how you were going to minister. And you guys, I learned real time how to basically just, you know, it's not just, there is no self. There is no self apart from Christ. And that reality is what, I mean, you know, I pray for people. Next thing you know, they're falling out in the spirit. Like, it's not because I'm like some super saint, anointed super saint that got, you know, some impartation from, you know, Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake or Heidi Baker, you know, whoever you want to say, right? The anointed man and the anointed woman of God. Like I was somehow separate from Jesus and needed to get something that wasn't already inside me, which is the King of Kings, right? No, it was a revelation. It was a revelation that the Holy Spirit began to pour out in my life, that it was not me that was operating in ministry, that it was Jesus that was operating through me in ministry. And you may think, well, you know, Shalice, you are in ministry. So therefore, you know, this works for you. But no, guess what? You are in ministry. You are a son of God. You are in the Father's business. And so the only thing that I'm really here to do in ministry is to convince you of that. That you and Jesus are one, and the same works that he did, you can do because he's alive in you. Right? So there's a maturing of the sons of God that those of us in, you know, in ministry are assigned to do in union with Jesus. But ultimately, it's really to get you into operating as someone who lives in union with Jesus and does the same works that Jesus did. So this miracle of the centurion servant has lessons for us to learn about how to operate as a son of God. And I, you know, printed out this list today because every single miracle that is in the Bible, there are lessons about how we operate as sons of God, how we operate as Jesus, how we operate as the body of Christ to do the same works that Jesus did. Okay, let's take another example here. We'll go to this woman, Luke 13. Let's go to Luke 13. I'm just kind of picking them random here. Luke 13, if I can get my Bible to work. Come on. I love these Bibles, but sometimes I can't get my finger to go where it's supposed to go. Okay, Luke 13, verse 10. All right, here we go. One Sabbath day, again, I'm still reading in the Passion Translation. This is Luke 13, 10. It says, one Sabbath day while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. I like the Passion Translation because it makes it kind of like more modern, right? It says, she was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. It says, when Jesus saw her condition, he called her to him and gently laid his hands on her. And then he said, dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit. Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. And then it says the Jewish leader who was in charge of the synagogue was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. 6 days you work, he shouted angrily to the crowd. On those days, you should not come here for healing, but on the seventh day. And the Lord replied, you hypocrite, don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath? Untying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan for 18 years long, to be untied and set free on the Sabbath day? And it says, when he heard this, his critics were completely humiliated, but the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. Okay, so let's just take this example. Okay, so here, Jesus sees a woman who had been crippled and doubled over for 18 years, okay? And he knows by discernment, knows by the Spirit that her condition is caused by a demonic spirit, Okay, so Jesus in this instant is operating in the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, every miracle that Jesus did is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as a son of God, we are equipped to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And the discerning of spirits is just the operation of the Holy Spirit to know what is going on in a particular situation. It looks beyond the material realm. It looks beyond natural causes. It looks beyond the doctor's report. It looks beyond natural circumstances to say what exactly is going on here. And so there is a wisdom, there is a word of wisdom, there's a word of knowledge, right? There are gifts of the Spirit that we operate in as sons of God, as the body of Christ, so that we are perceiving with a wisdom and with a knowledge that you cannot gain through natural thinking, through the natural mind, through the wisdom of men, okay? You cannot discern that this is a demonic spirit that is an operation with someone by going to the doctor and getting a checkup, right? Like getting a diagnosis. I mean, I'm sure if this crippled woman lived in, you know, 2025, well, there would be a disease name that would be named that this woman had. There would be a natural, you know, whatever discussion around this is what this woman is dealing with. So as it relates to healing, we've learned in these two examples of miracles, number one, right, that there is no distance in the spirit, that there is the highest ranking officer is Jesus. And when Jesus speaks a word, it manifests wherever, in whatever geographical location it's aimed towards. And here we learn that there are things going on in the spirit that are not discernible to the human mind or to the physical senses. And so there is a wisdom. There are the wisdom of God, which is transmitted to us by the Holy Spirit, right? That we can operate in when we are stepping into the role of being a miracle worker. And so we don't use our natural mind. We connect with the mind of God and we ask Holy Spirit. We get the discernment that we need from the Holy Spirit and we hear from God. And then of course, when we recognize that there's something going on that is demonic as it relates to this healing that is needed in the moment, well, guess what? We just say, you're free. In this instance, you're free. But Jesus, his words were not his own. You know, Jesus said this, the words that I speak are not my own. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing, right? Of my own independent self, apart from God, I can do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right. My judgment is just. My judgment is accurate because I don't seek my own will, but the will of my Father. I am motivated by my Father. I am driven by my Father. And the words that I'm speaking are my Father's words. I am speaking as God. I am operating as one with the Father. And so therefore, when I say, woman, you are free, it is not me even speaking it. It is the Father in me that's doing the work. And so this is another example of how we are designed to operate. We are designed to operate from a wisdom that is not of this world, that is above. It is a higher type of wisdom, right? It is the highest form of wisdom. It is the thoughts of God. It is the knowledge of God that is supernaturally transmitted to us, not because we learned it, not because we figured it out, not because we reasoned ourselves into it, but it is simply a information transfer. I'm so fired up. And it's information transfer from the mind of God into our human understanding. And we have the ability to receive revelation knowledge. We have the ability to receive a word of knowledge. We have the ability to receive a level of discernment that is looking beyond the natural circumstances. We are discerning the truth. We are discerning what is going on in any situation that we deal with, right? And in this instance, Jesus laid his hands on her. Right? He laid his hands on her. Why did he lay his hands on her? Why didn't he just speak a word and not lay hands on her? Why did Jesus work different miracles, different ways? And if we're going to do the same works, you know, why will we be working miracles different ways and not it just be a formula? Well, guess why? Because we're led by Holy Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. And whatever Jesus saw the Father doing, that's what he was doing, right? He was living with activated, I guess I would say, spiritual senses. He was living out of a spiritual level of understanding and discernment, not the natural mind, not a mere human being's ability. And so you, as a supernatural by design son of God, you have the Holy Spirit. This means that everything that the Holy Spirit has access to in the mind of God, you have access to. You have supernatural ability to discern. You have a supernatural ability not to learn, but to know what is going on, whoa, below the surface, below what it looks like. And you can deal with whatever it is, the demonic entity that's, you know, causing someone to be crippled, the demonic entity, you know, behind a storm or whatever, right? We can discern, is this demonic? And what is the course of action in this situation? You know, I've been talking a lot in my coaching programs about, you know, really needing to know three things in any situation so that the will of God is accomplished, so that the actual heart and the intent of the Father, that His agenda is being accomplished in our lives, right? And so we need to know the will of God. We need to know God's will, God's way, and we need to know God's why. And so Jesus, very much, and if you go through the miracles, very much was operating in the will of God. And he operated in a knowing of the will of God that wasn't coming from his human reason. It wasn't coming from his Bible study and reading scriptures. Not that Bible study or reading scriptures is wrong. It was coming through union. It was coming through oneness. It was coming through relationship. It was coming through a way of being and operating that was one with the Father. And so he, in this situation, we can recognize that, you know what? There are demonic things that are going on in people's lives that are causing people to be crippled, that are causing physical illnesses, and they are causing things that are to happen that the medical community cannot diagnose, because you can't diagnose a demon. You can give it a physical name. You can give it a human name. You can use human logic and human wisdom and human reasoning and evaluating everything from a material perspective and from a, you know, Newtonian physics, the body is a machine perspective, the human wisdom of the medical community. You can diagnose something. You can describe something. You can prescribe medicine for something. But again, Jesus didn't deal with things on a natural level, which means we don't have to deal with things on a natural level. And as you step into that position of being the one that God wants to manifest the new creation reality through, and God wants to use you to work the miracle in that situation, well, guess what? You're going to be tapping into the mind of God. You're going to be operating in what is called the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is really nothing more than the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, or the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit through you. And you have access to these gifts. You have access to these operations of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is alive in you. And it is the exact Spirit that was an operation of Jesus. You didn't get a junior Holy Spirit. You didn't get a portion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in power into your life. And you have the same exact Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Whoa. And so this is the way that you can operate. Why? It says here that a person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. You do it because you know the truth. You do it because you believe the truth. You know it, you see it, you recognize it, and it is just so. Not because you feel it, not because you can see it when you look in the mirror, not because of any other reason, then this is just the truth. It is just the true reality of who you are. And you don't need natural confirmation to confirm it. No. The confirmation is the Holy Spirit. The confirmation is the truth. The truth is spiritual reality. And as you step into that spiritual reality of like, yes, this is who I am. I am in union with the great I am. I am is as one with I am. And therefore I am able to do the same things that I am does. So this particular example of reading through a miracle, it just, again, gives you insight into the operation of union with God. It gives you insight into the operation of a human being that lives supernatural by design, as the incarnation of the Son of God, as the holder of the glory of God. And that is you, beloved. And so self-consciousness, a self apart from God, has, you know, it just, we aren't mindful of it. We aren't thinking as it. We aren't living out of it, right? We recognize that we were crucified with Christ, and yet we live, right? So there's the old self is no longer the one that's running the show. Okay. It's not running our minds. It's not running our just choices. It's not running our decisions. We are operating in a higher level, in a supernatural operating system of a Son of God, perceiving with Christ's mind, perceiving with Christ's perceptions. We are operating in the consciousness of the mind of God. Whoa. And we are seeing the situation through the eyes of God. And we are hearing the instructions, the will of God, the way that God wants to work the miracle. And we understand why. I mean, Jesus was specifically doing this on the Sabbath on purpose. Like, he was absolutely humbling these Pharisees and letting them know that the Sabbath was made for man, right? Like, it's not that men were not made for the Sabbath. He was teaching through the demonstration of the miracle. And so there was a confrontation with that spirit of religion that Jesus was doing in this miracle. And you will see sometimes that Jesus would say, you know, woman, my time has not come yet. Or, you know, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem right now because it's not my time yet. The time is not fulfilled yet. He was on the timetable and on the timeline of God. You know, and so he understood the why, he understood the way, and he understood the will of God. Why? Because he was operating in this place of the greatest intimacy of God that you can experience, which is oneness with God. You know, I love Matthew 11, verse 17, right? No, verse 27 in the Message translation. It says this, and this is Jesus talking about the way he operated. He said, this is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. And he said, no one knows the father the way the son does, and nor the son the way the father does. He says, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm willing to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And what is so interesting about that, if you read in Matthew 11 in the Message translation, a little higher up in that chapter, in Matthew 11:15, it says, are you listening, really listening? Which was our word of the month for December, but it's always a word for now, right? Are we listening? Are we really listening? Jesus said that the way that he operated with the Father was a unique father-son operation. Okay, so there's a unique way that we're called to operate, where we are in intimate knowledge with the Father's heart, with the Father's mind, with the Father's will, with the Father's way, and the Father's why. And Jesus said he's willing to go over this with anyone that's willing to listen. And so we listen. We're listening. We're listening for God. We're listening as God. We're tapped into the mind of God, into the heart of God, and to the will and the way and the why of God. And we are flowing with the Holy Spirit. We are flowing as a new creation, and we have connection. We have connection to the mind and the heart of God through our union with God. We're fully entangled, fully immersed into the life of God. And we are grafted into this beautiful Trinitarian life, where we have access to everything that heaven contains. We're seated right there in the middle of the action, right there in the middle of heavenly places with the Godhead. And we can operate. We can operate at a higher level, and we can do the same works that Jesus did, because that is the way we have been designed to live and designed to operate. And so today, as we wrap things up, you guys, I want to encourage you to read the Gospels, read the miracles of Jesus with a new lens. Associate with Jesus in your mind, right? And I'll wrap with the scripture, you know, that I've been on really through this series, but it's so applicable here. And I'm just going to do this as kind of like a commencement message, like the ending of the broadcast, and just commission you into this right now. Okay. It's this: live consistent with who you really are. Okay. Inspired by the loving kindness of God, moved by God, moved by compassion, moved by the Spirit of God. And it says the most practical expression of worship is to make your body available to him as a living sacrifice, right? So we are making our bodies available as a living sacrifice. And this pleases him more than any religious routine, because he desires to find visible individual expression in your person. And so I just declare that Jesus is finding visible individual expression in your person. And as you read through these stories, as you read through the miracles that Jesus did, you'll recognize that this is you. These are the same works that you are able to do right now because Jesus is in you, and you are becoming a student of miracles, and you are actually manifesting as a miracle worker, seeing with God's eyes, hearing with God's ears, and moving as Him, because as He is, so are you. You are the physical component of Jesus right now in the earth. And there are miracles that you are going to be doing that are mind-blowing. God's going to blow your mind with the ways that He manifests through you as you. And that's now. That's this year. That's this week. That's today. So elevate, guys. Elevate. Come up to this higher level. Come up to this place where you live, where you breathe, where you move, right? This is the place that you exist right this very minute. And so I just say eyes open. I say ears open. I say, wake up, sons of God, come into the reality of the new creation and operate as the Son of God who lives in union with God, and God operates as you, through you, in your life every single day. And I just declare these things over you in the name of Jesus, and I say amen and amen. So God bless you. That's all we have time for today, but we got one more to go in this series. And so stay tuned. It is going to unleash the reality of the new creation in your life. So God bless you guys. We'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is in part made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.